be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who are eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus Christ. We begin this journey of this year now going through the Gospel of Luke. The last 2 weeks we were talking about Jesus' baptism and the beginning of his ministry with his baptism and the encounter with John the Baptist. But today we start to follow Christ in his ministry. And we started right from the very first chapter, the very first verses, where Luke says that, you know, there's a lot of ideas, a lot of people are talking about Jesus, people are making up stories and they're getting it all wrong. And he says, I've gone through and I've looked at all the material again, I've talked to people as much as I can, and he says, what I'm presenting to you here is what the real story of Jesus is. It's not all this other stuff that people get carried away with. And it brings a sense of comfort to us, that what he is putting into his gospel is something that he's researched and he's looked at very carefully to make sure that we get a good story of Jesus, of his ministry, of his mission, and of his healing grace. And we started in verse 1 and then we jumped to chapter 4. We skipped the nativity parts and the birth of Christ. We've already celebrated that at Christmas. And now we start with his ministry. He's gone off into the desert and he comes back and he begins to preach. And one of the first early things that he did was to go back to Nazareth, his hometown. And we hear him saying, you know, as he picks up this scroll of Isaiah, and he says, in a very powerful and a very eloquent way, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." That sounds great and very powerful, those words that he shared from the prophets. And if we really read Luke, the end of it is that Jesus challenging them, they began not to believe him. They said, we know you. We watched you grow up. How could you do this? Their hearts were turned against him, and all of a sudden they were leading him off to a cliff near the edge of the city, and they wanted to throw Jesus off. We would have expected, for us, it sounds really, really wonderful that Jesus has come to bring wholeness of life back to us and to let God's love thrive within us. But in that time, they weren't ready to hear it. And hopefully we are, that we are ready to allow that power of God's word to speak to us this year, that we can hear Christ as he calls us. And Jesus said that the Lord has called him to do this proclamation of the gospel. But we need to remember that mission that Jesus has taken on is one that he handed on to the apostles, and he handed on to us to continue to proclaim God's presence amongst us, to proclaim the good news of God's love in our midst, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, the good news of the journey of our life and the gifts that God has given to us, the healing grace of Christ in our life. We too are called to share that. And just like Jesus, we are facing and proclaiming that word in a world that increasingly has no interest in it, in a world that is not listening. It's looking at what it can possess and what it has and what power it's got. And when we begin to share God's love, when we begin to talk about kindness and forgiveness and God's healing grace, they just kind of say, I'm not interested. I've got other things to do. That doesn't mean what we are talking about is not true and is not the truth. It means that they've lost their way and they're not ready to hear it. And we need to continue to proclaim that word. Not everybody that heard Jesus preach understood what he was talking about. Not everybody understood him. In John's gospel, at one point, a lot of people left him when he started talking about the Eucharist. And they said, we don't understand this. It's too much for us. And so we don't expect that everybody is going to hear it and everybody is going to be transformed. But we do know that there are people who are seeking. There are people who are lost, who know that they need something more in their life. They know that God is missing in their life. And they are seeking to understand who they are and where God is in their life and what they need to do to respond to that. And that's our mission, is to proclaim. It's not just for us to come to church every Sunday and take care of ourselves. It's to bring that love that we share here, that power of God's word, and to share it with our brothers and sisters. The other part is the second reading today, as Paul is speaking and he talks about the church being the body and it's a unity of members, each one doing something different to make a whole. And he says we cannot be all ears or all eyes or all hands or all feet. That doesn't work. We thrive only when every part is here and when we can use each gift that we have. That is what makes a difference, and that's what makes the presence of Christ even more powerful in the world when all of us are sharing it. And having said that, it begins to make sense to us of what has happened to us in the last 2 years. In the last 2 years, we really have not been able to bring the body of Christ together. Different members have come, but others are still staying at home. Trying to stay safe, trying to stay away from COVID. But what we are missing is this opportunity that we have to share everybody's faith, that each one of us is important. And when one of us is missing, we are less. We are missing that gift of God's love in that person. And even if you just come and sit here by yourself and don't come back the next week, your presence in our midst still is important, and we miss and we become less when people are not here. And so that's part of why we can become more frustrated, more impatient, more angry, lazier, more judgmental. Whatever is happening in our life in this past 2 years, a lot of it has to do is that we have not been able to come here and to be with Christ as the body of Christ with all of our gifts and all the richness of our life. And even right now, we've had to stop some of our meetings and go back to Zoom meetings. But it makes us less, and it hurts the power and the presence of Christ in our midst. And so our hope is, and our goal, and when we understand that we need all to come, we need to reunite with one another, we need to share not just as the body of Christ, but we also need to share the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ given for us, that overcomes the sin in the world, that heals us of our own sinfulness, that those things make a difference, and we struggle without them. And a lot of you have sensed that and have felt that as you were staying at home. He finally says, it's not the same just watching it on the computer. I need to be present. I need to be with a community. I need to receive the Eucharist. I need to be here. And it's what you're experiencing and all that you're saying. You're saying, I need to be in the presence of Christ. I need to be part of Christ. I need to be connected with the body. And I need to be on that journey together. And so tonight we pray that for our community, as we continue to be, I don't want to say dismembered, as we continue to be apart from each other, as we continue to try to stay safer, that we recognize that and we do what we can to come together as a community, as we can to bring the richness of God's gifts along with us, but also knowing that we have that task, that if we're going to carry that love of Christ out to the world, if we are going to be his disciples to the world, that it's going to take all of our gifts, each one of us, sent to different groups of people, different parts of our families, different places where we work, that each of us in our own way is bringing our gift and our part of the body of Christ out to the world. And so we pray for our community as we continue to strive through, survive through COVID, that we might continue to have in our heart a desire and a passion for being the body of Christ and for continuing that work of proclaiming the gospel and letting the world know of God's great mercy and great love for us.